Ed Sheeran with Bad Habits. In studio with us this morning is Mushai Kunyiha, the CAM, or Kenya Association of Manufacturers Chairman, joining us this morning. Welcome to Capital FM.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. Yeah, wonderful to have you with us. Always nice to have conversations. As we're talking off air, you're opening my eyes, so I feel like my dear listener needs to have their eyes open as well. Before we get into, clearly what has been a very difficult period for every industry in the last almost 24 months. Let's talk a little bit about CAM, Kenya Association of Manufacturers, and demystify what it is that you do as CAM.
Yeah, thanks for that, Farid, and thanks for having us on. Kenya Association of Manufacturers has been around for now going 62 years. We started off way back in 59.
Wow.
And it's all about bringing the private sector, people who are in the manufacturing area, together to put our voice together, to raise our issues together, and to solve our problems together. We currently have about 1,500 members.
Oh, wow.
Manufacturers of all sizes, from the largest manufacturers in Kenya, you know, your Bamburis, your EABLs, your Bidcos, and so on, and to the SME sector. So we have a category for businesses who are below 50 million turnover. And we've been, articulating their issues to government, solving their problems as we go along. We also do a big part of trying to think about manufacturing for the future. So we come together and we start saying, how are we going to grow this space and this sector so that it contributes to the country, mm-hmm. and it contributes to people's incomes?
How important is it for the manufacturing sector? And obviously manufacturing covers so many areas, right? From, you know, carpentry and wood to electronics, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Beer, for example. Yeah. How important is it to have a body that kind of represents, you know, you said 1,500 members?
1,500 members.
Right? And that's not all the manufacturers at
No.
How important is it to have the body, for CAM to be the face and the voice of the manufacturing sector?
I think it's crucial because we all have different ideas. And even when we are talking to regulators, we are talking to government, government cannot spend time talking to 1,500 different people and hearing their voices and so on. So we bring people together and come up with also with common positions, because what you want to do is try and balance the interests of different players. We represent 14 different sectors. A lot of the sectors trade with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we
mm-hmm.
also have some sort of internal conversations about how we're going to make trade easier with each other. And it's important for us to get, let's call it the best solution, putting our minds together so that we come out with a best solution for what is useful, what can help us grow our industries and our economies here.
But it's interesting you say this. You know, manufacturing is such a wide, it's such a wide net, right? I mean, mm-hmm. manufacturing can be anything. So there you are as CAM, and you've got all these different industries. So you have to kind of understand how the ins and outs of each of these industries works. It must be quite a complex role to be chairman and the people in your immediate sort of upper management level of CAM.
Absolutely. It's quite an interesting role as well, getting to understand what happens in the different industries. But what we've done over the years is manage to structure these sectors well. So each of the 14 sectors, we have 14 sectors, has a sector meeting, like a sector board, where they sit and discuss their issues, and then they can raise up the bigger issues that need some sort of coordination between other sectors, or the ones that are really troubling the sector, which then comes up to the board. We also have a secretariat of 80 plus people,
right,
led by, you know, our superwoman Phyllis Wakiaga. So, and that is going very well. So the secretariat does a lot of work bringing in all this information, coordinating all these ideas and putting it together. So, and it is complex. I think even as we prepare our manifesto, which we'll be talking about, and talking to government, we try and tell them there are no simple answers to these issues. This is a complex area, as economies are complex. But if you don't spend the time, the complexity is not an excuse to do nothing.
Exactly. And I guess, you know, what may be the problem or the advantage of one, say, the timber industry, maybe not the problem or advantage of the alcohol and beverage industry. So these are the complexities you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I think there's always the win-win. And if you spend enough time, You know, is that the seven habits? Win-win or no deal. If you spend enough time thinking and engaging with each other, you will find the win-win. So what we try and do at KAM is spend a lot of time. We have a big trade and tax committee, is what we call it, and elaborate systems in there where we are busy trying to find what is the win-win so that everybody can grow. And the big picture we're trying to do is grow manufacturing in Kenya. So we start looking at what is the solution. If we all focus on that big picture, we easily find solutions which are win-win for everyone.
Okay. Now, you've launched or you're launching a manufacturing manifesto.
Launched.
Yeah. Okay, that was this week. Now, how often, before you tell us what it's about, how often does that happen?
Well, we do it every election cycle.
I see. So it's as the chairman, your and your team's manifesto.
As manufacturers. Okay. It's as the Kenya Association of Manufacturers. Right. We say, because we are getting into an election period, politicians and governments and parties, they make promises in their manifestos. So what we try and do is engage with them at an early enough time so that they can include our ideas, our thoughts, our questions. Sometimes it's not even our ideas, it's the areas we think they need to address in their manifestos. Then that means in the next 5 years, we have a common conversation. This is the thing we are talking about. Mm. These are the issues that are going to affect us going forward. And this is the way, in a lot of the cases, what we're trying to tell them is, we know these are the questions you want to solve. We think these are the questions you want to solve. We think this is how you can actually solve them. And this is how we can contribute. This is how we can work together to solve these problems.
And it must be vitally important to when we have an election, for you guys to, as CAM, to align to make sure that you and whoever comes into power in the next 8-9 months can work hand in hand, because it's vitally important for your leadership, I would imagine.
Yes, yes. And I think it's more than just who comes in power. What we are also trying to do is change the national conversation around these issues. So there will be an opposition. But do the opposition also understand our issues?
Mm.
We also, it's not just at national government. Our manifesto is also addressing county issues. So we also want the members of parliament and the senators to understand what our issues are and how we think we can solve them. Because coming from a place of understanding will help us deal with the issues as we go forward. What legislation is brought in the future, what taxes are proposed, what expenditure is proposed in the future. If we are all talking from a clearer picture, it's useful for us.
Okay, when we come back, you'll give us some of the key highlights of the manifesto. And as you mentioned before, I do have to reiterate, you said SMEs. I think a lot of people, a lot of small business owners or medium business owners will probably think, no, I can never be a member of CAM because I'm not an EABL or a BIDCO.
Yes.
But the narrative is not like that at all. We're going to talk more about that when we come back as well. It's 23 minutes past 8. If you have any questions, you can get them in right now at 984 in the morning. Hashtag drive in. Little Mel C with Left Eye, Never Be the Same Again. 27 minutes past 8. When we come back, when we come back, we have the sports coming up for you in just a few minutes. In studio with us this morning, the Kenya Association of Manufacturers Chairman Muchai Kunyiha, talking to us a little bit about the brand new CAM manifesto. So we've talked a little bit about what you do. Now you've demystified it for us. It's like any big body that we see. We're always like, what? It's very intimidating. What do they do? But it's really actually you're actually welcoming manufacturers into CAM, and hoping that you can all walk together in the next 5 years and forevermore, I would imagine. As a chairman, with the new manifesto, as we go into an election year, what are some of the key highlights of that manifesto?
Yeah, thanks, Farid. So what we did when we were working through our manifesto, this is work we did over the last, say, 5-6 months. And we started off with an analysis of where we are as a country and as a manufacturing sector. And looking at what are the key issues that are going to be affecting us as we go forward. And there may be 4 big issues. And the first one, I think, which is important for everyone and for all Kenyans, we think for all politicians, is going to be jobs. Where are we going to get jobs from?
Sure.
Because we've been growing GDP, but it's been what they call jobless growth. So if you look at how much the job, formal job employment has been growing, it's very low. I think it's about 3% CAGR, compound on a compound basis.
Right, so GDP goes up,
Yeah.
But the job market is actually not going up. And they should be aligned.
They should be aligned, yeah. Okay. So there's something wrong in the, how where we are growing our GDP.
I think it just means the rich are getting richer, doesn't it?
Well, there are a lot of informal jobs.
That's a theory.
But it's also a lot about infrastructure. Right. So we spend the infrastructure, as you grow it, the GDP grows, but it's not creating jobs. So right. that's a big issue. And then, of course, we as manufacturers, we are no longer as big a part of GDP. We used to be 12, we were aiming for 15%. We've now dropped to 7.5%. So we're saying, look, manufacturing it's almost disappearing. If the trend continues, it's a downward trend. We need to be a bigger part of GDP. GDP itself has grown, but the growth in our manufacturing area, it's not growing. We're growing at about 3%.
So there's so many factors that should lead to the growth in GDP. But yes. Here we're not seeing some of those factors contributing.
Exactly. And, you know, at some point we say the numbers don't lie. Right? This is how we are performing. So we needed to say, look, guys, this is where we are. And we know that this is not satisfactory. It's not the aim. I think government policy, I always say, since 1963, is to grow industrialization. So this is not, it's not actually working. So then out of that, we can start looking at what are the issues that can help us get out of this. So when we started coming out to where do we see the issues and where can we grow? One is, we can call general, is macroeconomic stability and policy stability. So the issue here, which I think we don't always appreciate as Kenyans, that government expenditure comes from taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The government has no money. It is only the money we give it that becomes government money that they will spend. So what has happened in the last couple of years, government has been spending a lot of that money. In our view, maybe too much. It's getting too high, how much it's asking for. And what does that mean? The government needs to collect taxes from us to be able to pay for all this expenditure.
Right.
So this week I saw KRA is saying, oh, we collected a lot of tax, and they're celebrating. This is the highest amount of corporate tax they've collected. And I think as a Kenyan or maybe as a businessman, is that a good thing that the government is collecting taxes? Because on the other hand, the other headline is that the food cost is too high. That we, you know, everything is expensive, but they are taking the money.
That's actually very interesting. And I think also when you talk about, you know, it's great that KRA managed to, you know, collect the tax that was outstanding, but, you know, tax is delayed, right? So if you were doing well in 2020 or 2019 and you got into 2020 and there was no Biashara, that's where the problem lies, right? That's where a lot of businesses ended up shutting down or downsizing, etc. And of course, that contributes to no jobs, loss of jobs, not enough jobs.
Exactly.
Right.
And of course, Farid, we've not talked about COVID. We are coming through a COVID period.
Right.
And I think Kenya is probably the only country in the world, as far as I know, that has raised taxes during the COVID period. Okay. So we are increasing our taxes.
Right. So there are a number of issues that you really have to raise in this manifesto.
Yeah. So you know, one of them we're saying, guys, we can't keep moving these taxes. So we're saying some stability. Manufacturing as well, in its nature, is big investment over a long time. So one of the challenges we've been having is like the tax on investment. They've brought in a couple of taxes or changed the tax code that makes it more expensive to invest. Now, if you don't invest, if you don't build a new factory, there will be no new jobs. Okay, where will the new jobs come from? And if you now start making it more expensive to build new factories, to invest, by increasing, there's VAT now on machinery. If you bring in new machinery, they want you to pay VAT, which, by the way, is just an advance payment to them because you get it back. But it makes it very expensive for the investor.
Mm-hmm.
They've reduced their interest that I can recover from my corporate tax, the interest cost, to 30% of my EBITDA. And that's, you know, that means I can't invest anything substantial.
And is the fear from, I mean, there's many fears, I would assume, as Kenya Association of Manufacturers, if this continues, this trend continues, and your members.
Yes.
But is one of the fears that they'll end up going to neighboring countries to do this work? So investors I'm talking about now. For instance, you see Rwanda is giving tax breaks on investors. Uganda, in their own way, are doing a similar thing. And here we are raising taxes. As much as we are a hub for business for the world, et cetera, et cetera, you know, money is money. You're going to start looking elsewhere. Say, okay, providing I'm close enough to Nairobi or Kenya, I can put my business here.
Exactly.
And that's going to be the problem.
Not only that, I think we forget that the biggest industrial countries in the world are open to us and very close. That's China and India.
Mm-hmm.
They have the biggest, they are our biggest competitors. And even now we have countries like Egypt. So just what happens now, if I'm making soap or even jam, it just becomes cheaper for me to go to some guy in China, some guy in Egypt, and tell him, just sell me jam in a jar. I pay the customs import duty, and we'll be okay.
There's actually an inconsistency there. It's cheaper to go there, import it, than to make it locally.
Than make it, yeah. Because we've been made ourselves uncompetitive. And we, one of the things we keep saying is we must be globally competitive. That's the only way to survive long term.
Mm.
And a good indicator of how uncompetitive we are is how much we are exporting. Because when you're competitive, you have something that the world wants. Take China. China is exporting everything it makes, it can send out to the world because nobody can compete with their price.
Mm-hmm.
They've raised their quality pretty significantly. So they're able to grow and grow their market on the exports. In Kenya, we have two sad stats. I think only 28% of our exports are manufactured goods. If you compare ourselves to Vietnam, it's 86%.
It's almost invalid. It's almost inverted, isn't it?
Even Egypt, closer to us, is 48%.
There you go.
Only 6% of manufacturers export.
That's incredible.
Right. And that's the way we're going to create jobs. If you don't feed the global market, you're not going to be able to create these jobs.
And bring in investment, which is going to be another issue altogether anyway, which is the long-term effect.
Yes.
When we come back, we'll continue talking about the manifesto. I have a few questions for you on Twitter. We'll go through those as well. Okay. We'll take a quick break, and then we come back with the sports. Good morning. It is your best mix of music, 98.4 Capital FM. As promised this morning, we have a very special guest in studio with us. And if you are just tuning in, he is the chairman of CAM. That's Kenya Association of Manufacturers, Mushai Kuniha, chatting with us this morning about a brand new manufacturing manifesto. We've talked a little bit about the tax issues. We've talked a little about unemployment. We've talked a little bit about a number of different areas of the manifesto. Talk to us now about regulations within the industry of manufacturing.
Yeah, I think this is one of our biggest pain points is the volume and the burden of regulation that has been growing. I think we've done it both at national level because we have now we have our national government and county governments, and each of the county governments came up with its own regulations. And then we have all these regulators and different institutions, and they keep coming up with regulations. What we are saying is all these regulations are a burden on business, and they keep growing and increasing. And not only, I can link that to the taxation issue. A lot of these regulations come with costs. There's a taxation. Currently, one of the issues we are battling with is for oil. And we've seen, I'm sure we're going to get to food prices. We're talking about the cost of food. But the Agricultural Food Authority has decided to put 2% on oil. So all the oil that is coming in and the raw material for making the cooking oil that we're making is being charged 2% since, I think it's December last year.
Yeah.
So we are increasing the cost of this thing. This is a whole new body. We're not sure what this 2% is for. As in, why are you taxing? Why do you want 2%?
So it's not clear as to, I mean, obviously it's so that more money can be made for more spending, but we're not being, I think the issue is it's the staples that is hurting most of us. It's the staple of, you know, understandably, if you tax caviar, I mean, what is that? 0.0001% of the population that can afford to pay the tax on caviar.
Yes.
But we're talking about things that every person needs.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you make rules. Now they say you must register your factory. Now, all our factories are already registered by various parties. You have KEBS who are inspecting it and they are county health people. Now they've decided there's another body that is going to come and inspect your factory. This is from the AFA people. I don't know that they've ever been to a factory.
What are they looking for?
What are they looking for? What is their experience in this thing? And why do we need yet another regulator? So we think factories should be regulated. It's important to just check factories are working well and so on. But do they need to be regulated by 3, 5, 6 bodies? No. We can put all those regulations together. And our proposal is to get a better regulation commission. Somebody, a central body where we start looking as we need to regulate. Yes. What are we trying to solve? What
That's
is
really
the problem we're trying
actually.
To regulate? Then we have more intelligent, business-friendly regulations. Regulations that help us to do business safely and to meet standards, but not the way we put it is that most regulations in Kenya are made for the benefit of the regulator, to make life easier for the regulator, not for the regulated. But we're like, that's always stifling for business. Let's make regulations that help the regulated keep to the rules and grow. so that we are not too many.
Mm.
Our goal is...
And to get the rest in line anyway,
right?
To get
everyone in line. Yeah. Because we want everybody in regulated and so on. But, and of course, that's what happens. For many industries, the cost of regulation is so high that people think, I would rather not be regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go, you know... under Kichinichini, mm. I'll be operating down there, mm. and I'll sort whoever comes in different ways. And that's not useful.
And I wanted to ask this. You're talking about 4 or 5 or 6 regulatory bodies that are going to check my factory as a manufacturer. I mean, does that not open the door for bribery and corruption? Because he's going to come in and say, that fire extinguisher is actually 3 inches too high or too low.
Exactly.
So I'm going to close you down or you give me 20,000 shillings. And I think this is where the big fear might be for your members, your manufacturers.
I can tell you one of the biggest challenges or what we'd get a lot often is a manufacturer calling the association desperately. There's a guy here in my... at my office, he wants to close us down.
I have no idea what he's doing.
I don't know who he is.
Or what body he belongs
to. He's come from NEMA. He's come from the county. And a lot of these guys, sometimes they're like, we are closing down the factory. And we're like, do you know what it means when you close down
even
the factory? Even for 1 hour and so on. And some of the infringements are, let's say they are minor or they just need to be changed. Again, we are arguing about the height of the example you gave, the height of the fire extinguisher. So we're like, I can move the fire extinguisher. Do you need to close me down?
While you're here, I'll lower it by 3 inches. Yeah.
Yes. Do we need to close it down? How can we get regulation that helps? And get, even when they give you a notice, they tell you you need to improve this by a certain period, and then you can move things
14
forward.
Days, whatever the case may be. Yeah.
ETC. And just get a general view of, let's get good regulation that helps us. Again, the levies. We can't be paying every other day to somebody else. And like you said, these now become avenues for corruption.
I would imagine so.
Because,
I mean,
you know, it's every, there's another guy coming in, he wants
to, or a guy who doesn't belong to anybody, who knows he can walk in and scare the hell out of somebody and they're going to pay.
And then now the cost of food, you know, we started talking about like the Nairobi County.
We have to talk about this.
Bringing in landing fees. So now they've decided that if you bring in pork from, pig or, you know, pork carcasses from outside and bring them to Nairobi, you have to pay a tax. And you start asking, what is that tax for? What am I paying for, actually? Mm. Because I'm bringing a raw material I want to process and make something of value. I'm going to create jobs. I'm going to create opportunities. And I'm feeding, you know.
And how people. Are the food manufacturers within CAM, how are they feeling? I mean, it would be nice to know how the people who we're giving money to for our daily sustenance, how are they feeling about having to charge these kinds of prices?
I think it's very difficult. In fact, a lot of businesses going into December and last year were having a lot of, heartache and pulling and back and forth thinking about how are we going to survive.
But they have to
survive.
Raising
these prices.
We must realize that in order for them to keep producing cooking oil, they have to stay in business.
They have to stay in business. And the prices are going up. So all the prices are going up. We've had a depreciation on our exchange rate. Freight costs are going pretty high. We are calling it long COVID because these are the impacts.
Two years on.
You know, people who don't recover from COVID. So we recovered from the first shocks, but it's still going through the system.
Mm.
So it is painful because a lot of businesses start losing volume as the costs start going up and becomes a challenge for them. But yet these are global prices. We are talking about even things like wheat. Wheat has doubled.
Yeah, I've seen. And that's crazy. So bread is like...
But bread has gone up 25%.
Yeah.
So the bread makers are saying we have to take a hit.
So they're losing money, but we're also losing money as a consumer.
We are still struggling.
Yeah. Right.
So it just looks like tough times ahead.
Yeah.
But we are hopeful the COVID issues would resolve and bring back some sort of balance.
So
it's going to be a challenge.
Globally, because, you know, we're saying the hashtag lower food prices has been trending for 3-4 days on Twitter. But if I look at Twitter globally, there's a number of hashtags of a similar nature.
Yes.
This is not a Kenyan problem. This is a global problem. It doesn't help that our government is overspending and therefore things are being taxed more.
Yes.
But this would be happening. We may not be paying quite the price we're paying, but we would still be paying more for food prices because of shipping and logistics, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. And so we're saying also to government is that there are some things that you really should not be doing now. Like I said, we can't have been the only country increasing taxes during a COVID period. Like the one I mentioned on the oil and nuts, we are saying now we're going to add 2% to the cost of cooking oil.
Mm.
And we're like, the cost of cooking oil has already gone up so significantly. And by the way, it's good to mention that the way the government is raising more money the taxes that are being collected. It's just that if the raw material of cooking oil doubles, the import duty on it or the VAT that we pay when we bring it in, it doubles.
Yeah.
So they are collecting more money.
I mean, it's a pretty simple formula, isn't it?
It's very simple. They're doing well. That's okay.
Yeah.
So we're saying, okay, you're doing well. You're collecting a bit more money, and that's great. We're not saying take it back. But then, therefore, consider the consumer.
Sure.
What can we do to cushion the consumer a little bit more?
And it's the regular guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I always say this. I talk about lower food prices. Yes, my disposable income has shrunk. But at the same time, it's not me. It's the little guy. The guy who's getting enough to pay for the day to get groceries for the evening, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. Now, before we let you go, there's just one question that I've had a number of WhatsApps on, and I think it's something that we talked about right in the beginning. Kenya Association of Manufacturers seems like a very big body for very big manufacturing organizations. That is not the case. Yeah. You welcome literally any manufacturer who wants to have representation through CAM.
Yes, absolutely. We actually had about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we set up something we call the SME Hub. And this was just like a section within our secretariat and our structure where the SMEs can come in and discuss SME-related issues. Because we understand, yes, the larger manufacturers may have different conversations, different issues about what they need to discuss. And you're right, it may be intimidating. They might start thinking, that's not my club and that's not where I belong. Mm. But in the SME Hub, we can have conversations around what are the issues facing SMEs. But it's fair to say that if regulations are bothering, you know, East African breweries or a big cement manufacturer, you can imagine what it does to a small business.
Sure.
Where they don't have the capacity or the people to deal with all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. Like we're saying, you know, even dealing with tax issues. Now, you can imagine it's just tax issues, and then you have regulators coming, knocking on your door.
Sure.
Some of this stuff is like, it always sounds complicated. They come with a long list of, you need all these requirements and so on. You may need somebody to hold your hand and take you through these things and explain to you how these things can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what we do with the SMEs.
That's awesome.
And we're trying to bring them in. We've also subsidized what the cost, what it costs them for membership to come in so that we can, you know,
And I guess, and you know, at a large scale, if I'm a micro brewery, probably it's an economy of scales, right? EABL's issues and my issues are going to be similar in one way or another.
Yes.
It's just on a much larger scale.
And I think I like what you say, micro breweries. The other thing we say, the other line we have is that all our industries started as SMEs. Even EABL was an SME.
Sure. There was a first Tusker brewed at some point, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was an SME. So we are saying, if we don't nurture these SMEs, if we don't take care of them, we are again cutting our legs before we started the race.
Right.
So we need these SMEs to start to grow, and they will become the big industrialists of the future.
Yes, next 100 years.
Exactly.
All right, thank you so much for coming in. What a pleasure it was to chat with you this morning. And thanks for demystifying what it is you do. And now we have a little bit more, a little bit less, I should say, animosity towards the manufacturers that are charging us more money because it's actually not their fault. At 2 minutes to 9, you're welcome back anytime, and great work you're doing.